नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the first canto, chapter 6, Conversations between Narada and Vyas. We're on text number 21. Hantasmin Janmini Bhavan Hantasmin Janmini Bhavan Ma Mam Drastum Iharhati Mamam Drastum Iharhati Avipakva Kasayanam Avipakva Kasayanam Durdarsho Hum Kuyoginam Durdasoham Kuyoginam Hantasmin Janmani Bhavan Mamam Drashtum Iharhati Avipakva Kasyayanam Durdasoham Kuyoginam Hantasmin Janmani Bhavan Mamam Drastum Arhati Avipakva Kasayanam Durdarshoham Kuyoginam. Tasmin Janmani Bhavan Mamam Darshtum Aharati Avipakva Kasayanam Durdoshoham Kuyoginam Hantasmin Janmani Bhavan Mamam Drashtum Iharhati Avipakva Kasayanam Durdarsoham Kuyoginam Hantasmin Janmani Bhavan Namam Drastum Iharhati Avipakva Kasayanam Dudarsoham Kuyoginam Vaishnavis. Where is he? Where are they? Okay. Hanta O Narada Asmin This Janmani Duration of life Bhavan Yourself Ma Not. Mam. Me. Drastum. To see. Iha. Here. Arhati. Deserve. avipakva, immature. Kasayanam, material dirt. Durdarshaha, difficult to be seen. Aham, I. Kuyoginam, incomplete in service. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O Narada, the Lord spoke, I regret that during this lifetime you will not be able to see me anymore. Those who are incomplete in service and who are not completely free from all material taints can hardly see me. Please repeat. O Narada, the Lord spoke. I regret that during this lifetime you will not be able to see me anymore. Those who are incomplete in service and who are not completely free from all material taints can hardly see me. Purport. The personality of Godhead is described in the Bhagavad Gita as the most pure, the supreme and the absolute truth. There is no trace of a tinge of materiality in his person. And thus, one who has the slightest tinge of material affection cannot approach him. The beginning of devotional service starts from the point when one is freed from at least two forms of material modes, namely the modes of passion and the mode of ignorance. The result is exhibited by the signs of being freed from kama, lust, and lobha, covetousness. That is to say, one must be freed from the desires for sense satisfaction and avarice for sense gratification. The balanced mode of nature is goodness. And to be completely freed of all material tinges is to become free from the mode of goodness also. To search the audience of God in a lonely forest is considered to be in the mode of goodness. One can go into the forest and attain spiritual perfection. But that does not mean that one can see the Lord personally there. One must be completely freed from all material attachment and be situated on the plane of transcendence, which alone will help the devotee get in personal touch with the personality of Godhead. The best method is that one should live at a place where the transcendental form of the Lord is worshipped. The temple of the Lord is a transcendental place, whereas the forest is a materially good habitation. A neophyte devotee is always recommended to worship the deity of the Lord, Archana, rather than go to the forest to search out the Lord. Devotional service begins from the process of Archana, which is better than going out into the forest. In the present life, which is completely freed from all material hankerings, Sri Narada Muni does not go to the forest, although he can turn every place into Vaikuntha by his presence only. He travels from one planet to another to convert men, gods, Kanaras, Gandharvas, Rishis, Munis, and all others to become devotees of the Lord. By his activities, he has engaged many devotees like Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, and many others in the transcendental service of the Lord. A pure devotee of the Lord, therefore, follows in the footsteps of the great devotees like Narada and Prahlad, and engages his whole time in glorifying the Lord by the process of kirtan. Such a preaching process is transcendental to all material qualities. Jai. Om Agyana Tamadandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshusun Manisham Hina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upakadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vancha Kopa Tubischa Kripa Sindhu Vicha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. O Narada, the Lord spoke, I regret that during this lifetime you will not be able to see me anymore. Those who are incomplete in service and are not completely free from all material taints can hardly see me. So, well, we're going on quite an adventure with Narada Muni in his life. And it's interesting how now we just had the appearance of the Lord. And in this particular verse and in the next verse, we're having the disappearance of the Lord. He appears out of his own sweet will and he disappears out of his own sweet will. So this is his mercy on us. And even his disappearance is his mercy. And these particular verses that we're reading today and tomorrow, these are favorite verses for devotees like to give on the disappearance of great souls, like Srila Prabhupada or some of the great acharyas. In fact, these verses were used in many occasions for that. Because the Lord's appearance and the Lord's disappearance is the same as the appearance of the pure devotee. The pure devotee only appears, you know, for the service of the Lord. And his disappearance also, supposedly disappearance, and also supposedly the Lord's disappearance, it's like if he's gone. But there's reasons for that. It's to help us gain more attachment and eagerness to serve Krishna. So we're going to go on a transcendental journey through the forest like Narada Muni. There's a material forest and then there's a transcendental forest that we could go through. But first of all, in this purport, we can see the influence of a pure devotee, and we'll talk about that too, and the importance of devotees. Prabhupada mentioned, Sri Narada Muni does not go into the forest, although he can turn every place into Vaikuntha by his presence only. This is what the devotees of the Lord do. This is what Prabhupada did. We see in the past times even a Prahlad Maharaj, when he would perform his ecstatic chanting and dancing, just by demons and anybody seeing him in his ecstatic state, they would become devotees. Or even if they touched him, they would become devotees. Or hear him speak, they would become devotees. This is the transcendental activity and the nature of the devotees and the Lord. So there's a nice verse in the Bhagavad Gita, 8:14. Anyachita satatam yomam smarati nityasaha tasyaham sulaba partha nitya yuktasya yogina. For one who always remembers me without deviation, I am easy to obtain, O son of Prita, because of his constant engagement in devotional service. So this is the process that we're going to learn from the great souls. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada gives a really brilliant purport, but I'm just going to pick out the cream of the cream, anyway, to me. But here's some nice points that he brings out. So he says, this verse especially describes the final destination attained by the unalloyed devotees who serve the Supreme Personality Godhead in the Bhakti Yoga. So we have to have a final destination. Just like they say that before you enter the forest, you should have a map, right? So you know where you're going. So in the same way, the spiritual master comes, the Vedas come to give us the inner map, the inner guide, an inner direction on where to go. Narada Muni, throughout his travels, he didn't have a map, external map. He didn't even know where he was going. He had no idea. He just traveled. But he had an inner direction. He had an inner compass. Just like in ancient times, when they would travel even by sea, they didn't have so much maps. They looked at up above in the heavens and looked at the stars, and they were guided by the stars. So in the same way, we're guided by the great stars, the acharyas and the devotees that come. You know, the moons that come, that appear, that reflect. And it's like they come and they give this mercy. It's channeled down through them and it comes out in their voices and their activities and everything. So this is what Prabhupada did. He came and he was channeling that. Samsaradabhanalidaliloka. It's like a cloud of mercy, extinguishing the blazing fire of this mature existence. This is what happens in the forest. There's fires. We experienced that just here recently. It happens. So this is where we get our inner map, our inner guide. And we're going to talk about that also more. So he says here in the purport, A perfect devotee has no desire other than to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Lord says that for anyone who is unflinchingly devoted to Him, He is easy to attain. Such devotee meets with none of the problems that plague the practitioners of other yogas. Bhakti yoga is very simple and pure and easy to perform. One can begin simply by chanting Hare Krishna. The Lord is merciful to all, but as we have already explained, He is especially inclined toward those who always serve Him without deviation. And the Lord helps him in various ways. So we're going to see how the Lord helps. And one of the ways is that He disappears, supposedly. And He does this with His most dear devotees sometimes. We see Lord Chaitanya did that with his wife, Vishnupriya. And she heard rumors that he was going to take sannyas, and she went up to him and started crying and said, "Is it true that you're going to leave me? If you leave, how can I live? It's better to just die." And he said, "You know, Vishnupriya, you're so dear to me," and he explained how dear she was to him. And he said, "You have to understand one thing. There's only one truth, and that's Bhagavan and the Vaishnavas. Everything else is an illusion. This family life we're experiencing, it's all temporary. All the things that you try to attain in this world, these goals, they're all illusion. The only thing is the Bhagavan and the Vaishnavas. So it's so important we have to take shelter. And we're going to talk more about that." Okay, so the Lord gives such a devotee sufficient intelligence. So this is the guide. So that ultimately the devotee can attain Him in His spiritual kingdom. That's the goal. And here Prabhupada says, "The special qualification of the pure devotee is that he is always thinking of Krishna without deviation and without considering the time or place. There should be no impediment. He should be able to carry out his service anywhere and at any time. Some say that the devotee should remain in holy places like Vrindavan or some holy town where the Lord lived. But a pure devotee can live anywhere and create the atmosphere of Vrindavan by his devotional service." So this is what we read in the purport today. And Narada Muni can do that in his travels, and he does that. And so do the devotees. So he says here, "It was Sri Advaita who told Lord Chaitanya, 'Wherever you are, O Lord, there is Vrindavan.'" So Prabhupada ends the purport. "A pure devotee cannot forget the Supreme Lord for a moment. And similarly, the Supreme Lord cannot forget his pure devotee for a moment." So even though the Lord may put one through difficulties or may disappear from one, He never forgets His devotee. And we'll discuss more about that also. So, this is the great blessing of the Krishna conscious process of chanting the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So as I mentioned, it's like an appearance and disappearance are similar between the Lord and His pure devotee. You know, there's that story. What does it say that the king, you should probably never die? And the prince. Yeah, you go. And then it says the brahmachari should die. And the ascetic should... No, the ascetic, yeah. Brahmachari should die. But then the devotee, he can live or die. It's the same. Doesn't matter. So we have the disappearance and appearance. So Prabhupada in his purport, he describes that seeing Krishna is not mechanical. As I mentioned, it just appears. Like Narada tried to do the mechanical process and try to force the Lord to come again. But he didn't. And he became so distraught. You know, he was so like eager to see that Lord, and he just became perturbed. So in the same way, Srila Prabhupada, you know, we could see this in the light of his disappearance. And we can understand that separation from Krishna and the spiritual master in the same way. Of course, we know that the spiritual master is not Krishna, but we know Sakshat Hari Twaina Samasta Sastir, we sing every day. He's a direct manifestation of Krishna. His coming and going are just as spiritual as Krishna's coming and going. So it's so important. And the next verse, we're going to see that He said, I've left you, just increase your attachment to me. And this also applies to the spiritual master. It should not be that after the spiritual master disappears, and then the disciple's attachment gradually wanes. You know, it's not like you have like a mourning period, like 30 days or something, we mourn. And then, okay, just business as usual. I forget, you know. But no, we should actually become more attached. And it's an opportunity to increase our affection for Srila Prabhupada. It's very important. And we know that the spiritual master is present in his sound vibration. That's even more important than his physical presence. So someone may think, I never had association with Srila Prabhupada. And now he's gone and I'll never have that chance. You know, someone like him may not come in hundreds of years. But still, we can have an intimate association with Prabhupada by serving his instructions, by following his example. You see, Yasya Prasada, Bhagavat Prasada, you try to please him in that way, and then you'll receive the benediction of Krishna. So this disappearance is meant to increase our affection and our devotion so that we can meditate on Prabhupada. So just as Krishna has told Narada, he says, because you know, you're not fully able to appreciate me, you're not completely pure, and it was a cause for his lamentation. So when the spiritual master, you know, leaves also, we may realize, you know, I never really knew him. I never took advantage of him. I wasn't ready. I wasn't pure. Such a great devotee, you know. And because somehow or another I lacked purity, I didn't get to know him or take up his service. So this is a cause for lamentation. But as Krishna says, you would like to see me, but I will not appear before you because you're not pure. But on the other hand, the reason I've disappeared is so that you can understand what you've missed. And you can now feel and act in such a way that you can gain me before your life is over. So this is what we should deliberately cultivate, this attachment to Srila Prabhupada. And there's so many ways this can be done. And just by really meditating on the samsara prayers, every morning we see the spiritual master is engaged in chanting the holy names, is engaged in serving the deity, in the temple service, you know, prasadam. He's very eager to serve in this way. So, in one sense, it's too late, but we shouldn't take it lightly. It's actually not too late because we can have an opportunity to increase our service. And in order to do this, we have to churn the remembrance of Srila Prabhupada, his teachings, his pastimes, his instructions, and meditate on these. You see, so in this way, we'll actually get freedom from this miserable condition in this forest. Once they asked Srila Prabhupada, they asked him, he said, now that you're here, we can ask you so many questions and get direction and guidance, but how will we be able to get that after you're gone? And Prabhupada replied, the name of Krishna is not different from Krishna himself. Do you understand that? So this is what Prabhupada said. So we have to see that if we actually sincerely chant, anything is possible for Krishna. It was possible for Krishna to appear to Narada Muni and to talk to him. So who said it's not possible for the spiritual master to talk to the devotee? We have heard that spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, appears in his dreams sometimes to the devotees. So it's possible. Krishna can make anything happen. And if we chant the holy name, we can know what Krishna wants. We can know what our spiritual master wants. This is that inner guide that's given to us. So just as Prabhupada was pleased before, he can continue to be pleased. And the devotee will come closer to his spiritual master and so become happy and more assured of his spiritual position. Don't think that there's any difference in the method of pleasing Srila Prabhupada. Don't let any deterioration occur and any standard of our departments or programs of ISKCON become lax. That's what Prabhupada wanted. So it's important that we have a map. And what is that map that Srila Prabhupada gave us? He gave us the goal, the supreme goal, and he gave us the understanding of what is real truth and what is illusion. What's the difference? And he taught us that illusion means to see anything in existence as separate from its source. So we're seeing something in the mature world, like the forest. You could imagine Narada Muni is a boy. Now my mom's gone. I'm free. I can go and see everything is for my enjoyment. But no, he was instilled with that inner guide from the Bhaktivedantas. And they actually explained to him that this is what you should do. You should go here and go there. He went everywhere. He went to towns and villages. He could have got absorbed in all the sense gratification that's available in these towns and villages. Just like today, it's so easy to go anywhere now. Take a plane ticket to anywhere in the world. And you could go there and see that place for your enjoyment. And exploit the resources in such a way that you could see, take advantage of things that are for you. Figure out how to make money, how to enjoy, how to exploit, how to do this. If not, just think if Narada would have done that. He wouldn't have perfected his life. But he traveled through all these places just with fixed on trying to find that goal, that supreme goal. He had that map, inner map that was guiding him. So that's so important. He's given us this idea to see what is the difference. So we can't forget the message that Srila Prabhupada gave us. And the way we do that, we become immune from these influences of this disease. This whole world is plagued by such a contagious disease. It's like an epidemic. It's worse than the worst plague you can imagine, like the Black Plague or something. I don't know what the worst plague was. But if we regularly chant our japas nicely, with feeling, read Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, you live a pure life by following the principles that Srila Prabhupada gave us. Regularly associate with sadhus, the satsanga, hear the message of Krishna. If we do this regularly, then our spiritual conviction and realization becomes stronger and stronger. And then we'll be able to withstand the influence of this illusion. It's like an immunization, like a lotus flower. It could be in the dirtiest place, but it will completely remain untouched. So God helps those who help themselves. We have to actually take it up. And the supreme benediction for Kali Yuga is to come together, like we did yesterday, just chant the holy names and see. And whatever Krishna wants, whether he handles me roughly, whatever, we just take it gratefully. But we're like the Chitaka bird. He doesn't look anywhere else for his nourishment. He doesn't go anywhere else for the fulfillment of his desires. He just wants to take shelter of Krishna. He doesn't look anywhere else. Not for, as Lord Chaitanya was telling Vishnupriya, not in family life or anything. So this is the priority. We should have this one-pointed attention on devotional service in Krishna. You see, no matter what it takes to endure it, we should just, you know, not take a drop of anything from anywhere else like the Chitaka bird. And this is the Lord. He comes out of his supreme compassion and love for us and is willing to show pain to his devotees just to show the compassion to all the fallen souls. So he gave some pain to Narada Muni, gave some pain to his own wife just to show compassion for them and for the conditioned souls. So that he could preach. And then what did his wife say when she told her that? And he said, "My dear Lord, you must do whatever makes you happy. There should be no obstacle in your mission in life." So we know what made Srila Prabhupada happy. We know what Srila Prabhupada's mission was. So we should all be like that. You know, "My beloved Lord, whatever makes you happy." That's all we're interested in. Like that. So, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Goswami Maharaj said, to become Krishna consciousness in a secluded place is an illusion. It's impossible without the association of devotees, because we become who we associate with. Now, here's some very nice realizations about what the highest happiness is. This is from the fourth canto, 30th verse, 30th chapter, 34th verse. "Even a moment's association with a pure devotee cannot be compared to being transferred to heavenly planets or even merging into the Brahman effulgence in complete liberation. For living entities who are destined to give up the body and die, association with pure devotees is the highest benediction." So just think, we're here, we're destined to die. And you kind of look at that, of all the millions of births that we've had, each one of those is like a second. So here we have one more second. So just think, you have a second to live, but yet you're going and wasting it on such unnecessary things that are temporary, that are useless. Now your second's up. Okay, you got to take another one, another birth. But just see, in this second, you could become pure. Just take it up nicely. So here, in the purport, I'll just read a couple. There's one paragraph I'll read. The topmost benediction for those who are living in this mature world and are subjected to the repetition of birth and death is association with pure devotees. One should search out such pure devotees and remain with them. That will make one completely happy, even though living within the mature world. This Krishna consciousness movement is started for that purpose. A person who is overly affected materially may take advantage of this movement and become intimately associated with it. In this way, the confused and frustrated inhabitants of this mature world may find the highest happiness in association with devotees. And the opposite of that, in the Madhya Lila 8-248, what is the greatest distress? It's described there. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, of all kinds of distress, what is the most painful? Sri Ramananda Roy replied, apart from separation from the devotee of Krishna, I know of no unbearable unhappiness. Is that amazing? So just see the importance. So here, there's a couple of sentences from the purport I like to read. A person who does not worship me, who is unduly attached to family, and who does not stick to devotional service, must be considered a most unhappy person. Similarly, one who does not associate with Vaishnavas, or who does not render service to his superior, is also a most unhappy person. And another sentence. Out of all kinds of desirable things experienced in the life of a living entity, association with the devotees of the Lord is the greatest. When we are separated from a devotee even for a moment, we cannot enjoy happiness. Isn't that true? That's just so amazing. So just see what Prabhupada gave us. There's a wonderful letter that I came across, Srila Prabhupada, talking about this, following this guide, this map. And this was to Mahamaya Dasi. Please accept my blessings. I received your letter undated and have noted the contents carefully. I am very pleased by your attitude of surrender yourself completely by engaging 100% in Krishna service. Some or another, always be thinking about Krishna. That is the goal of Krishna consciousness process. So now, you please help me to spread this information all over this earth planet, especially by helping to distribute my books and literatures as many as possible. And this is what happens. So the devotees are merciful, and what do the devotees get in return? They distribute the books, and then it says, this is what Prabhupada says, then you will get the credit, and know for certain that very soon you will go back home, back to Godhead. So this has given us the inner guide, the inner map on how to get there. So this is the key. I hope this found you in good health and cheerful mood. Your ever well-wisher, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, November 23rd, 1971. So we see the attachment for anything material is the cause of your destruction. Anything but you're attached to a devotee, then that opens your door to liberation. So this is very important. So now, let's see, talk about this material forest. It's described that Narada Muni, he was, he was attached to the forest. And this is from a book I got from Shivaram Swami on Sudha Bhakti Chintamani, Pure Devotional Service chapter, and this is about devotional renunciation. And he talks about this very nicely in his book. And he quotes the verse, Nadanam Najanam, how we don't desire accumulate wealth, desire beautiful women, followers, all this. And then he says, public sankirtan, giving Krishna consciousness to others, is a classic example of devotional service free from the desire for reward. Devotees who dedicate themselves to such a service are, by Krishna's own admission, peerless. He says, nacha tasmin manusesu kaschin me priya kritamaha. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he. ISKCON devotees therefore perform sankirtan for their own benefit and for the benefit of others. One blessing that occurs to devotees from such service is the spirit of anyabilasita sunyam, that's pure devotional service. Selflessly disposed, a devotee thinks, sankirtan may be difficult, people may ridicule me, the weather may be cold or rainy, my body and mind may protest, but Srila Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya, and Sri Krishna want me to do this, and for their pleasure I shall. This is the determination. The voluntary acceptance of the difficulties that come naturally while pushing forward the Krishna consciousness movement is the hallmark of the Goshtiya Nadis, the confidential associates of Lord Chaitanya, who profusely distribute Krishna consciousness. These persons embody the true spirit of Jnana and Evritam. Such preachers manage spiritual organizations, sometimes face open hostility, and live in Kali's domains. The modern industrialized cities, yet they happily embrace these difficulties and more. So these are the devotees, they live there happily. In fact, their endurance of such struggles is their offering of love to the divine couple. And Radha and Krishna prefer these offerings to flowers, words, and sumptuous offerings of food. The reluctance of spiritually immature bhajananadis, those who concentrate mostly or exclusively on their own spiritual advancement, to shoulder hardships for Lord Chaitanya's mission often hints at an escapist mentality. This trace of spiritual weakness hinders their advancement and must be cleansed in order for them to achieve pure devotional service. So getting back to how this relates to our verse, the great sage Narada Muni provides a classic example. A boy, Narada, desired to search for the Lord in the forest, where he became attached to its tranquil atmosphere. Although Lord Narayan once revealed himself to the boy there, the Lord considered Narada's attachment to the forest materially tinged, an obstruction to pure devotion. Thus, Narada would not see the Lord again in that lifetime. From this example, devotees may ascertain that to become attached to the comforts afforded by spiritual life is a detriment. Devotees accustomed to managing behind desks in comfortable offices, for instance, should keep alive the selfless spirit of pure devotion by regularly visiting the preaching fields. Wow, this really hits home, doesn't it? So this was nice. So what about, this is a material forest, and we're engaged in this material forest. So what is our transcendental forest? Where do these devotees go, you know, for their, you know, instead of like Narada, who's attached to this wonderful, beautiful atmosphere. Where is our beautiful atmosphere, this transcendental forest? This is in the Madhya 25, 273 to 279. I'll just read these verses very quickly. Devotional service to Krishna is exactly like a pleasing, jubilant forest of lotus flowers, wherein there is ample honey. I request everyone to taste this honey. If all the mental speculators bring the bees of their minds into the forest of lotus flowers and jubilantly enjoy ecstatic love of Krishna day and night, their mental speculation will be completely, transcendentally satisfied. The devotees who have a relationship with Krishna are like swans and chakravaka birds who play in that forest of lotus flowers. The buds of those lotus flowers are the pastimes of Krishna, and they are edibles for swan-like devotees. Lord Sri Krishna is always engaged in his transcendental pastimes. Therefore, the devotees following the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can always eat those lotus buds, for they are the pastimes of the Lord. All the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should go to that lake and remain always under the shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and become swans and chakravaka birds in those celestial waters. They should go on rendering service to Lord Sri Krishna and enjoy life perpetually. In this way, all the miseries will be diminished. The devotees will attain great happiness, and there will be jubilant love of God. The devotees who have taken shelter of the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu take the responsibility for distributing nectarian devotional service all over the world. They are like clouds pouring water in the ground that nourishes the fruit of love of God in this world. The devotees eat that fruit to their heart's content, and whatever remnants they leave are eaten by the general populace. Thus they live happily. The pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are full of nectar, and the pastimes of Lord Krishna are like camphor. When one mixes these, they taste very sweet. By the mercy of the pure devotees, whoever tastes them can understand the depths of that sweetness. Men become strong and stout by eating sufficient grains, but the devotee who simply eats ordinary grains, but does not taste the transcendental pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna, gradually become weak and fall down from the transcendental position. However, if one drinks but a drop of the nectar of Krishna's pastimes, his body and mind begin to bloom, and he begins to laugh, sing, and dance. The reader should relish this wonderful nectar because nothing compares to it. Keeping their faith firmly fixed within their minds, they should be careful not to fall into the pit of false arguments or the whirlpool of unfortunate situations. If one falls into such positions, he is finished. So, we mentioned how Krishna likes to put, to put his devotees into supposedly distress, separation, anxiety. So, again, I found some nectar where, let's see here, we will find that. And this is from another book by Shivaram Swami. And this is actually Krishna's in Vrindavan. This is his pastimes. And you know they're talking about this pastime of Narada Muni in the forest with the gopis. He's actually talking about that with him. And the devotee, the gopis are like, just like a rapt attention to listening to him. And this is from Shivaram's book. It's Na Parye Hum. I'm unable to repay you. So we see Narada Muni was immersed in his bliss of the Lord's association, and then he disappeared. And then it was like he had a cup, and then it's empty. And then it's described here, the dark shadows lurking in that lonely forest further discouraged little Narada, who cried as if his heart would break. He had sacrificed everything for Sri Krishna, and having seen him once, it seemed pointless to continue life without him. So when he was telling this story to the gopis, and the gopis, they were shedding tears of sympathy for little Narada. They knew what it was like to be abandoned in the forest. But this little boy was all alone, whereas they had at least one another's company. Raising his bow-like eyebrows, Krishna explained, Narada was immature in his devotion, but a sincere sadhaka, as a reward for his efforts, has to increase his desire. I showed him my transcendental form. Then by withdrawing that vision, I implanted in his heart the indestructible desire to see me again. Through the vehicle of that imperishable desire, Narada attained my company for eternity. So Hari looked over to the gopis with great feeling. And he says, now whenever Narada calls me, I immediately come to him without delay. But then the gopis, they stirred, eager for some good fortune. Narada received a thought, imagine if Krishna would come whenever we called him. What a boon that would be. And then continuing to defend himself, Krishna sighed. Withholding my love is not a sign of indifference, apathy, or contempt. To the contrary, I do it to secure my devotee's determination, to intensify his meditation upon me. And then they're asking Krishna, what's the significance of your words, anuvriti vritaye? And in the Krishna book, Prabhupada talks about that. And he quotes Prabhupada. He says, Srila Prabhupada includes an additional reason why Krishna does not always respond to his devotees' love. In addition to intensifying their meditation, anuvriti vritaye, Prabhupada says that if Krishna were to predictably respond, devotees might take him for granted. If I can very easily be approached by them, they might think, Krishna is so easily available. This additional comment gives wonderful insight into why Krishna behaves as he does. And so Krishna nodded. He said, My desire is to increase the absorption of love. Vritaye indicates the process by which the inherent propensity to love me, anuvritti, is amplified. And then, slightly wringing their hands, the gopis said, and of course, this is to be done by neglecting those who love you. And then, this is indicating that an implication that Krishna never immediately reciprocates the affection of his devotees. And then he's quoting Prabhupada from the Krishna book, 10th canto, and he says, however, Prabhupada goes through great pains in his translation to add that Krishna only sometimes neglects to reciprocate. In fact, he repeats four times the word sometimes in the space of a few sentences. The implication is that Krishna does reciprocate, but not predictably, for reasons that were given above. So Krishna patiently replied to the devotees. He said that there is no absorption as intense as that which is born of separation from a lost object. What to speak of separation from the object of one's love? I want to intensify the loving devotion of my devotees, for by such contemplation, they will rise to the platform of uninterrupted devotional service. And he quotes, as remembrance of me progresses in stages, it destroys increasingly subtle obstacles within the heart, eventually bringing to light the treasure of prema. Faced with such difficulties, a devotee cries pitifully for me, but ultimately gains my eternal association. So the gopis are having this discussion, and Krishna is trying to explain this, but the gopis, they keep asking him, is this reluctance on your part an inflexible practice in relation to those who love you? And he says, my dear beloveds, said Hari, rest assured that I'm not bound by rigid convention. I am driven by the urge to benefit my devotees and withhold my darshan only when it's favorable for their devotion. Therefore, anuvritti vritaye implies that I do not always reciprocate the affection of living beings. Having said that, Krishna continued, trying to conceal an impish smile. However, I find my devotees generally always benefit from my separation. And so the gopis were impressed by Govinda, his explanation. So, you know, their hearts softened under his soothing words. But then they're asking him, so they start to pray to Krishna. So this is just the last part here. And so anyway, it's getting kind of late, and it's 24 after. But this shows how Krishna, he's actually dependent on the devotee's love. And it's described in this pastime that Krishna is there silently, but he's experiencing the pain of that devotee even more than that devotee's experiencing. So even though Krishna may not seem he's there and is experiencing that pain just to bring out that love more and more and more. And we see Srila Prabhupada did that also with his devotees and his disciples. So we could see we could take advantage of this and just see how Krishna does these things and guides us through life to take us to our ultimate destination, back home, back to Godhead. So thank you very much for your kind attention. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.